If you change your mind, come on back. By the way, Catalina, will you make any announcement on Facebook this week? Patty said to me, is Catalina pregnant? I just, you know, I see these babies, I say, make more. I want to appreciate your obedience to the command, be fruitful and multiply. Where are all the children, by the way? How many? Let me see them. Get them up here. Bring me some babies. First Peter says that we are called to be a blessing. Therefore, bless. Who are you looking for? You don't know? Okay. Just in case you didn't know what Big Brothers were for. Father, we thank you so much that in a culture that's forgotten what a treasure children are, we recognize them as your inheritance under our care and stewardship for your purposes in their life. So we speak blessing upon these and those they represent in this house. I call forth the grace of God that attends them to let them from the early days begin to move in the spirit of wisdom and revelation and see in their childlike faith demonstrations of spirit and power as we attempt, Lord, to work with you as they grow in strength and grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. In Jesus' name. I don't know what to do with baby girls, but thanks for the offer. Now, I assume that somewhere out there in my future, there's a granddaughter, just so y'all can say, well, finally. Oh, yes. Tim reminds me we need to receive the tithes and offerings. Gentlemen, if you'd be so kind to do that. By the way, next week there's going to be a special offering for the Riversong staff. Told you how proud I am of what Robin's doing with that bunch, how they're all back in the education process studying early childhood development. That's not something my parents ever studied. We were the study. And when you're the firstborn, the first class they go through, you can take real offense at the way they treat the seventh one. You know, we had to fast and pray and crawl over broken glass and rusty nails to beg for the opportunity to go out maybe 3 weeks from now. Number seven tells mom and dad when they're leaving. They don't know what time they'll be back. Gentlemen, would you please? I'm really, really quite surprised at the Lord very, very often. And the details of his activity in our life are almost like a tale that someone should be writing. I am living a life I never imagined. It didn't occur to me to think that my life would go in the direction it has gone or that I would be doing what I'm doing in the earth. And I suspect that many of us have that testimony. One of the surprises along the way are the people that God brings into your life relationally and how totally different they are from you and yet equally significant because the grace of God attends them. Now, I did not know there was going to be a Robin Beale in my life someday. But one day the Lord said, sign here. And the package arrived. And it has been a wondrous occasion to not only watch the grace of God in her life, but also the activity of God. She comes to us from a pretty colorful past. A lot of religious stuff, a lot of broken stuff. She's got a fabulous healing testimony. I didn't even know what elephantitis was until she told me about it. But when you grow 12 inches in 24 hours, it's time to do some clothes shopping. You know what I mean? But one of the graces that attends her is as a preacher with an evangelistic bent, which I really appreciate. And today, Robin is going to be sharing the word with us. She'll be one of the preaching team coming up in 2011. It's me, Svetlana, Robin, and Hilton. We'll be carrying the bulk of the load for the first 6 months next year. And so you'll get a treat in hearing all those different graces. But would you please rise and welcome to this platform, Minister Robin Beale.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. I'm on? Okay. God bless you. I was just thinking about how wonderful God truly is, and as Pastor said, how he brings people together. I don't want to stop there, but what I want to do is just give you an opportunity. I was thinking earlier yesterday about how I love all kinds of music, but I really love gospel music. And I just have the opportunity to just worship. What I do is I worship at church and I worship at home. And so what I thought I would do is give you an opportunity, because this song directly goes with the message in which I'm going to preach. I thought I'd give you just a few seconds of my worship at home. Is it working? That because today we're going to talk about waiting and trusting. You know, when I first began to think about this and just waiting, I thought about the fact that I don't wait well. Some of you might wait really well. You might be so patient. But I have to tell you something. I thought about all the things I do when I wait. I remember going all the way back to when my father, who was involved in alcohol and all kinds of other things, when we were asking God to bring him in. And I remember being in the church, and lots of people accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior over and over again. And I remember just kind of saying, Lord, what are you going to do? When are you going to save my father? When are you going to change my father? When are you going to do these things? And I remember often throwing a little bit of a tantrum. Lord, I prayed, I waited, and he still isn't saved yet. Well, you might be right there, because you know what? The Lord did save my father, and he did deliver him, but you might be right there. Maybe you're one of the ones, too, that you have someone that's involved in an entangling sin, and you're wondering when they're coming out. Because I also have that testimony of a brother that was involved in drugs for years and years and years. And he was involved in all types of drugs. And we kept praying, Lord, God, save him. And one day he found himself at a teen challenge center in New Jersey. And there God changed his life. I look at the things that happened during that time, because when he gave his testimony later and I had the opportunity to hear it, I thought about all the prayer that was poured into him. And when he gave his testimony, this is what he said, that there were times in his life that he had taken overdoses or had been given something that would have possibly killed him, and God never let it happen. And I believe that was directly because he had a praying family that was praying that God would change his life and deliver him. And we were halfway across the other side of the world while he was somewhere else, but God would not let it be. He would not let death come in and take his life. With that in mind, what the Lord showed me is that's part of history. It's a part of what we can look back and we can see where God has brought us from. Everybody in this room, if we were to stop and think, we have a little bit of history of how good God's been to us. We have some history of what God did before. But then when we start going through various things, guess what? History often goes out of the window. And then we start saying, Lord, can you do this? Can you work it out? Can you change it? Lord, are you going to do it? Will you do, as someone said to me this morning when I preached and I finished? They said, I don't doubt if God can do it. I doubt that God can do it for me. But he will do it for you. Because he's no respect to a person. He doesn't have one group of people that he says, I'm going to work this out because I like the way they look, or I like the money they have, or I like the neighborhood they came from, or I like their family. He'll do it because he loves you. He's fair. And I think of all the things we try to put out about equal opportunity. Jesus is fair. And he truly does have equal opportunity. It's real. I want to talk about, as I said, waiting and trusting. And I want to give you an example. I wrote a little story about Cindy Crane. She went to church cheerfully as long as her business continued to prosper. Her children and her marriage was going well. She sang joyfully in the choir. She rarely missed a service. But when hard times set in, Cindy began to drop away. She began to become resentful towards God, even critical of other Christians. What happened? She forgot her history with God. Has that ever happened to you? Has there ever been a time in your life when things seem to be going wrong and it just seems like God, everything, the bottom kind of falls out of the boat, and all of a sudden you can't remember the history? And so when other people are getting blessed and other things are happening, you become a little cynical, a little cruel, or you just think, God, where are you in my life? I was telling them in the other service that I have learned a lot of things, but I have learned that God ignores my tantrums. He ignores the times that I stand and I say, but Lord, when are you going to do it? Ineffective. But I still do it sometimes. I want to give you the history of some people that were just like you and I. Oftentimes we say, God, there's nobody in the Bible like me. You ever have a juniper tree experience where you go sit under a tree and say, there's nobody like me? Well, there's a lot of people like us. And I want to read this to you, and I want to discuss this with you. When Moses and Aaron first approached the Pharaoh, remember the story? They told him that God said to let his people go. And Pharaoh, being who he was, he thought he was a god. He said no. And so Aaron then took Moses' rod and threw it down. And some of you have that big picture of the Ten Commandments in your view. It wasn't quite like that, but that's a good picture. And he threw the rod down, and Moses' rod became a serpent. And then the magician said, oh, he can do that. We can do it too. So they threw their rod down, and their rod became serpents. And all of a sudden, Moses' rod, the serpent, destroyed, devoured all of the other ones. And Pharaoh, that wasn't enough for him. You would think at that point that Pharaoh would say, I surrender. It wasn't enough. And so what happened is he looked around and he still said no. Then there was 10 plagues. Now I have to tell you, when I think about some of the stuff that went on, I thought, oh, Father, even on the right side, I'm glad I wasn't there. Because some of this stuff is just really nasty. The first one, water turning to blood. If I had seen that as Pharaoh, I probably would have said it's over. Okay, take your people, get out. I don't want this. I don't want to drink blood. Get away. But then he didn't. Frogs? No. Lice? No. Flies? No. Pestilence on livestock? No. Boils? Yuck. No. Hail mingled with fire? No. I mean, imagine all of this stuff. Locusts? No. Darkness for 3 days that was so thick you couldn't see anything? No. They still aren't leaving. And then the death of the firstborn, and God told his people before this happened to put the blood over the post. And he still said no. Imagine being that stout-hearted, that stingy, that mean, that you would still say no. After all of those things take place, even when it affects your home and kills your child. Imagine that. You just are so far away from the plan of God. He said no. Now, I had the opportunity years ago to go to Winchester, Virginia, to preach, and I thought about this after the first service, and there is a time of the year that whatever time that was that I was there, that locusts or something come out, and they're everywhere. These little white things were everywhere. And I just remember not wanting to get out of my car. And, of course, my car chose that time to have gas. And I was sitting in the car, and I'm driving to the church, and I stopped to get gas, and all of these things were everywhere. They were flying all by the door, and all you saw was these just disgusting, despicable things flying all over the place. I was so grossed out, and I had to get out the car, and I didn't want them in the car, and I was screaming. You should have heard me. I was really carrying on, and I was out there pumping gas, and I was going, oh, Jesus, please help me. Jesus, 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 and I'm screaming and yelling and all kinds of crazy things, and I finally get in the car and slam the door, and of course, there's some in the car by now, and I get to where I'm going, and I'm thinking, Lord, please, please don't let them be on the hotel door. Please. Well, I pull up. They're all over the door. I open up the door, and I'm trying not to let them in the room. All night, there was some in the room. Needless to say, I didn't preach very well. No, that's not true. Needless to say, I didn't sleep at all. I can tell you that. I sat up in a chair because I was terrified. And I will never forget this. When I went home, all I kept thinking about is, how silly Pharaoh must have been to go through anything like that and still say no. So I want to give you a scripture because I'm getting ready to show you a couple of things. The parting of the Red Sea, the Israelites had under their belt. And this is what the Word of God says in Exodus 14, 13, and 14. Don't be afraid. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he has accomplished for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you see today, you will see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Imagine being told that the Lord will fight for you. That's what the Lord is telling us every single solitary day. The Lord will fight for you. Just hold your peace. Give it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. Next, he said, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea, Exodus 14, 16. Think about this. To the right of them was a wall of water. To the left of them was a wall of water. But they were not walking in boots. They were walking on dry ground. Look at their history. Is God a deliverer? Is God a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? Can God do it? Here they are, walking on dry land. And after all of the Israelites had safely crossed over to the other side, excuse me, of the Red Sea, God then told Moses to stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptian and on their chariot and on their horsemen. He not only made provision for them to go across, but then he says, stretch your hand out again. Stretch out the rod again. Stretch it out, your hand, over the sea. And all of a sudden the water comes and just devours them, just drowns them. Think about that. Will he do it for you? What is it that you're waiting on? What is it that you're looking at? What is it that looks, it just seems so hard to you? Are you waiting and trusting? Then, after that, after our awesome God moves in all the situations, you see, I'm trying to show you that just like you and I, the history was there. And then all of a sudden, he sends out the spies and 10 of them come back with a bad report. Instead of coming back and seeing things through God's eyes, 10 come back. And this is what they say. 10 of the spies came back with a bad report, and they tell the rest of the Israelites that the people who dwell in the city are strong. The cities are well fortified and large, and that they will not be able to overcome these people because they are strong and larger in stature than the Israelites are themselves. Sound like anything the enemy's told you lately? This is you. This is what he tells you. This is you. And this is the problem. And how in the world can this possibly be worked out? Did you get it? This is you. This is the problem. How can it be worked out? How is this going to be solved? Well, they came back, and the report was, there's giants. They're big people. Oh, they've got the walls. They're just strong. The city is fortified. We can't go over there. But yet it was a place that God promised them. You see, what I'm talking to you about is the fact that there are some things that God has promised you. There are some places that God has declared, some things he's declared he's going to do for you. But you are looking at who you are instead of looking at who he is. Our God is big. He is awesome. Some of the things in my life, I've had to stop looking at who I am because I am not that big, but I've had to look at who God is. I had to see it through God's eyes. The next thing is he said, giants and strongholds thus keep the Israelites from believing God. They automatically melt. They are down to just the report alone. But then Caleb comes, and Caleb says, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Joshua and Caleb did not see a weakness, because they knew who their God was. And they did not see a weakness, something that you should tremble by, because they were looking to their God. Whatever it is, you don't have to have a weakness. You are looking to your God. He's well able to do it. I thought about the fact that when God hears this report, he says, that's it. That's it. And the word of God says, because of all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who reject me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he was different in spirit. I want to stop there. Are you different in spirit? What was Caleb's difference? Caleb's difference, it says, is that he had fully followed me. Caleb trusted God. Caleb was able to see what God was going to do for him because he fully trusted God. He knew that it had nothing to do with who he was, but it had everything to do with who he is. Everything to do with who he is. In my life, God has shown me that a lot of things have, that everything basically has nothing to do with tantrums, screaming, yelling, or anything. It has to do with who he is. When I look at the things that God has worked out in my life, I gave the testimony earlier of just coming to, I moved down to St. Mary's County, having no idea how and what was going to work out for me, but knowing that I was in a bad situation and it was time to get out. And the Lord spoke to me and said, pack it up, get out, time to go. And so I was so scared. I was so scared because I was saying, God, I'm a single mom. I got to take care of my child. I have to feed my child. God, I have to make sure that we have a roof over our head. God, and I had a list of things that I was saying, God, I can't do this. And the Lord let me know that was not my job. Now, inside, I thought that was all my job by myself. Here I am saying, God, like a woman Atlas holding up a whole world, I got to do these things. And the Lord was saying to me, look back at the history, Robin, that you have. I have worked on your behalf before, and I'm still the same God, and I'll do it again. But inside, I was saying, but God, you don't understand. I got to do. And then I finally went and said, enough. I was in a place where someone wasn't treating me fairly. They weren't doing what was right by me financially. They just weren't doing things the right way. And I said, okay. And they knew they had me over a barrel because as a single mom, you don't walk away from jobs. And I closed my eyes, basically. And I said, okay, God, you said step. And I just closed my eyes and I stepped. And then I got down here and I was driving back and forth all the way to Bel Elton, Maryland, and doing other trips, driving back and forth to help centers out so that I could make money, but not nearly enough. And I gave the testimony of who God, what God did. I called my sister. I said, okay, I'm coming. And Marcia said, come on. And we started looking for a place. And that day we found a place. And little did I know who God was going to give me as a landlord. He put a lady that is on the city school council, Marilyn Crosby, as my landlord. He opened up the door. And when I went to see her, she was asking for one amount for rent, for the deposit, and I didn't have nearly that amount. And I went to her and I said, this is what I have. And I said, and you need to know something else too. Because I said, okay, God, if you're going to do this thing, then I'm just going to tell the truth in all areas of it so that they'll know that what they're about to do, it's going to be a miracle. I said, and you also need to know I don't have enough money to match the rent. So here's what I have for a deposit, and here's what I lack. And she said, go get what you have and bring it back. I'll take you in. She gave me the place. See, you heard what he said? He said, I wouldn't do it, but it wasn't about him. It was about my God. And so let me tell you, here's what the Lord did for me. I promised her, I said, I will make sure that you always have your rent. I didn't know how, but I knew God said move. I know he said pack it up and get out. I came down here, I got the place, and just a little bit after that, Pastor talked to me and Riversong. God provided Riversong. He opened the door for Riversong. And I began to work at Riversong, and not one time did I ever miss the rent. Even though I have this wonderful landlord that just says to me periodically, if you can't pay it, don't worry about it. You can pay it at another time. You can pay it in parts. You can pay it. I paid the rent each and every time. And her husband and herself have been so wonderful to me that on every hand, they look out for my needs. Halloween came. They said, we thought that you might be walking home, coming home from church late. So here they are out in the parking lot, making sure that I get in my place safely. They watch out. They come by and they say, is everything okay? Are you okay? They call me to check on me just because it was God's provision for Robin. You see how good my God is? That's history. That's showing me how he's going to take care of me. Well, he did the same thing for them, but they wouldn't listen, just like we don't always listen. And then God got upset and he said, okay, that's it. And then he said, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and above shall see the land for which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Numbers 32:11. Joshua and Caleb, they knew the plan of God and they trusted God. Imagine people going through all of those different events and not trusting God. Is that you and I sometimes? Imagine all the wonderful things. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What power? Jesus Christ. That worketh in us. That is moving his Holy Spirit, working within us to do what needs to be done in our lives and in the lives of others if we're willing to yield ourselves. I'm saying to you, what am I talking about? Waiting. You're waiting on some things, and you're looking at the year is almost over. And I'm here. And God, when are you going to work these things out? When are you going to sell the home? When are you going to provide for me? When, Lord? When are you going to deliver my children? When, Lord? When will you work these things out? In Psalms 37:4-5, it says, delight yourself. Here's the key. Delight yourself also in the Lord. That word delight. Settle yourself. Relax yourself in the Lord. And here's the key, in the Lord. Let me tell you something. There are things that I have prayed for, asked for. Thank God he didn't give them to me. Thank God, because I thought I knew. But when you delight yourself in the Lord, when you relax yourself in the presence of God, let me explain something. You don't want what you want. You want what he wants you to have. And you're saying, God, it's not about me, it's about you. What do you want me to have? What is your will for my life? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways. God, every part of me, be in control of that. Order my steps, Lord. Order my steps. Here's my heart, God. Take it and do what you need to do because I want you. It's surrendering. I talked about God showing me something concerning my son. With all the things that I think that I have to do, the Lord shows me you can't do any of those things. You have to surrender. I was in a service and I'm here at the church and I believe that, and I now know that I misunderstood, but Pastor Sam Solis was speaking, and when I left out, I, as a single mom, felt for that moment that there was no hope for my son. I felt that because he didn't have the godly father and the heritage that I understood to be said, I just felt at that moment that there was no hope. And I went home and I got on the internet and I decided to listen to all of the sermons that Brother Solis had spoken on. Because I was saying, God, I just can't believe that. I cannot believe that there is no hope for a single mom's son. So I began to look and read and hear. And on Monday, I said something to Tim about it. And Tim says, well, you know, he gave me an explanation. Then he said, see, Pastor. And Pastor was out of town. So I instead went back and listened. From there, I went to Miles Monroe and I listened to all of the things on the kingdom. And then I went to prayer. And the Lord began to deal with me. Now, I'm mentioning this for a reason, because God spoke to me, because since then, other people have said things to me. And I told Brother Tim that about being a single mom and how you feel as if your children don't have the same heritage as those that are coming out of godly homes with mothers and fathers that are serving the Lord. Well, I began to seek the face of the Lord, and I heard the Lord speak to me, and I began to search it through Scripture, and I know with an assurance that God has a master plan for my son. I know that with everything within me, because God began to show me through His Word how He has given my son a blessed promise, and how when we trust God and we dedicate our children to the Lord, I'm telling you, God will do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. We need to understand something, that God is no respect to a person, and He will do. If we dedicate those children, He will do what He says He will do, and my son and your son, if you are a single parent, has the same opportunity that other people have in Christ. I had to understand that, because you see, I'm trusting God for something. My son walks into a situation that's just horrid every week. And when he comes out, this is my belief. This is my belief, and I won't let anybody come behind me and tell me something different. I'm saying, God, he goes in, he has to see all this mess, but when my son comes out, he is coming out unscathed. Because he's going to walk the walk of holiness. He is going to live his life as a man of God. And my son will be saved. My son will do the work of the Lord. And I'm saying, God, I don't want him to have a testimony that all this garbage got a hold of him. But Lord, I am asking you to let his testimony be that he went in and he came out and you were still with him. And you kept him from it. So every now and then I get calls from family members, and this is their testimony. Is he all right? Will he be all right? And I say to them, they don't talk to me about it anymore, because I get on the phone and this is what I say. Well, you know, if he goes over there, the following things could happen. And I say, listen up. If that is what you believe in for your child, fine. But my child is coming out unscathed, because I am praying and I'm asking God to keep him, to put a hedge about him. The Bible says that God put hedges about people. He kept them, he protected them. And if he's not God, who else can I trust? I have to trust God. And so they now don't talk to me like that anymore. Now they say, how are things going? I say, great. They say, how is Wilson? I say, wonderful. And they say, where is he? And I say, he's at his dad's. And they say, when is he coming home? I said, on this particular day. And they'll say, everything going fine? I said, everything's going great. I think they're afraid. And I'm glad, because I didn't need that. The next verse says, but they that wait upon the Lord. You see, I don't just say it, but I wait upon the Lord concerning it. Once I came to pastor's office and he told me, you don't have to be Nobody has the expectation of you being so strong. The good part about that was he was letting me know the body of Christ is standing with me. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I want to encourage anybody today that you're here and you feel just a little bit frail. You feel a little bit like, oh God, how am I going to do this? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. I said in the first service, I have heard this over and over again, but I thought I would check it out because sometimes as Christians, when we're preaching sermons, we get a piece from someone else and it might not be quite right. So I thought I'd look it up and check National Geographic to make sure it was right. And it's the story of the eagle molting. And you shall mount up with wings as eagles, you never think about a time that an eagle would be weak. A time that an eagle would possibly be broken down or dilapidated. But there is a time that an eagle literally recognizes that his body needs to take on a transformation. Things need to happen. And so the eagle will break its own beak. The eagle will pluck its own feathers. And before the eagle does this, it gets to a place of safety, a place where the eagle is almost equivalent at that point to a turkey. And there has to be a renewal. And then in this broken place, guess what happens? Larger and big eagles, strong eagles, fly overhead to protect this eagle during its time of being restored, being renewed. Thank God for the body of Christ that will hover over you, will fly over you, will be there for you. And then all of a sudden the season is over and the wings are back and the eagle is strong and the beak has grown back and it's strong and he can do everything he used to do. And guess what the eagle does? Gets up and soars and helps someone else. You will mount up with wings as an eagle. You shall run and not be weary. In the song, it says, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Some of you may have felt times, some of the situations that you're going through, that you feel a little weary. But I'm telling you that in Christ, if you will wait upon him, he takes away the weariness and he gives you some strength. He gives you the ability to soar again. You may say, I'm not soaring right now. I'm not flying right now. I feel a little bit like that eagle that's a little bit down and beat up and bruised. I'm here to tell you, you'll soar again. If you can just wait on the Lord, really begin to seek him. What do you worry about in life? Pastor gave you the testimony of what's going on in our daycare right now. My teachers in the daycare, all of our daycare, because we are the church's ministry. But what's happening at Riversong has been quite extraordinary. I thought about, I went to a meeting. We're going through accreditation. And I went to a meeting. And one of the things they told me about accreditation is they said your entire staff, because they're pushing for early childhood, the whole early childhood thing is being revised and changed. And the goal is for everybody to have a degree, everybody that is involved in early childhood education, to the point that at least an associate or they have to be constantly going to classes. So can you imagine me coming out of that meeting thinking, oh, Lord, how am I going to get these teachers to start going back to classes and to go to school? I didn't even have to do that. I want to tell you the miracle of the type of people that are working at Riversong. I went back and I told the staff that these are the things we're going to have to do. And one by one, through care courses, through other things, and through college, most of them went back to school. Everyone in the staff is pursuing higher education. And that was such a miracle to me that God worked it out, and I didn't have to fight with them. I didn't have to, you know, argue. I didn't have to do any of that. They all said, we'll do it. That's who you have working at Riversong. That's who you have working in your ministry. And when you are thinking about that next week and you're working on looking at the teachers, they make, and I'm just alluding here for a second, it goes with this, but I'm just stopping for a second. They make massive sacrifices for the children and for the school. Deborah, she's lucky if she takes part of her check home, because she's always trying to buy for the children. The teachers take their check, they buy things for the children and do all kinds of wonderful things. I'm telling you, you have a great staff here, and I have a great staff. I want to give you this. When I thought about what I'm worrying about and what you worry about, I said, I thought about Maslow, Abraham Maslow. Abraham Maslow is one of the theorists for early childhood education. And what he says is he deals with the actualization needs of a child and even in adults. And he says they need the following things to be strong. He says, he talks about food, clothing, shelter, loved ones, belonging to someone. He talks about all of these different needs. And then he says when they get there, the child has reached aesthetic beauty, full potential. And so that's what people are striving after. People are striving after that in their own lives. They're striving after reaching aesthetic beauty. But what is beauty in Christ? What is it in Christ that you can reach? What if you don't have the home? What if you don't grow up where you have these things? What does that mean? That means nothing in Christ. Because if you seek Him, if you seek the King, He will do all of those things, and He will make you what you need. I'm reading these final verses. Matthew 6:25 says this. Therefore I tell you, stop being perpetual, uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they are? I want to drop down to verse 33. But seek first. Here is your goal. For all the things that you are waiting on God for, here's your goal. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His doing, His way of doing, His way of being right. And then all these other things taken together He will give you besides. You need to seek the face of the Lord. You're waiting, but it's time to really get in a seeking mode. There are waiting where you're crossing your hands, where you have now decided God's not going to work it out. So you now have an attitude. You now have backed off from the things that God has called you to do. Some things that I have learned. God pays no attention to your tantrums. Good to know, right? So all of those things, I'm mad with God. He pays no attention to that. Complaining and murmuring can cause you not to receive. It can cause you to miss the blessings of God. So you need to get that under control, because He's shown me I had to. Get the right spirit as Caleb did. Follow fully. Let that be said of you, that you're following fully, that you've got the right spirit. Next, you must reposition yourself. Sometimes, every now and then, even sitting anywhere, you readjust yourself. You need to reposition yourself and get a change of heart. You need to go back and just begin to get in the presence of the Lord and say, God, what is this? I just reposition me. There are times when I'm walking through things that I am asking God, how, what, that I reposition myself. And I go back to God and just say, Lord, I'm yours. You have my best interest at heart. Relinquish your authority. Isn't that a big one? Somebody said, ooh. That's a big one, to relinquish your authority. God told me to relinquish my authority because I have your son. Stop thinking that this is what you're supposed to do. Relinquish. Relinquish your authority. Some of you are holding on to some things. And if you would just say, God, I give it to you, it would be answered. The answer would be right there. But you're holding on to it because you're saying, God, I got this. In the first service, I said, sometimes my son will say, I got this, Mom. I'm a little timid because I'm like, okay, son. But I'm standing behind him going like this, you know, to help him out. But when God says, Robin, I got this, I just walk away because the history tells me that he has it. Prioritize. It's time to prioritize. You need to prioritize and seek first the kingdom of God. In every situation, in every single solitary situation, in November, our staff decided to do something, and we decided to have a month of an attitude of gratitude. And we learned something about ourselves, that it was a struggle to have an attitude of gratitude. We kept putting each other in check. We're not quite done yet. But when one was a little bit negative, we'd slide them back over to attitude of gratitude. We wanted to take this time, not just because of Thanksgiving, but take this time to be grateful for all that God has done. And I'm telling you, how many of you would say you never complain? You know, sometimes we say, someone says, are you a complainer? No, I'm not a complainer. Take time to do an attitude of gratitude for a month. You'll find out just how many times you complain, even over little things that make no sense. And so we decided that when we walk through this, we were then going to go back to God and say, God, as individuals, not judging each other, looking at ourselves, we were going to go back and say, God, help me to reposition. Help me to get myself together so that I can show gratefulness. Lastly, I love this because it has helped me to get through all of the things with my son. Whatever a king promises, whatever a king writes, a king, Jesus Christ, it cannot be rewritten. So my son, and what he's going to be, and single moms, hear me and hear me well, your children that you sometimes don't have all the answers to, and it seems like they've gotten in more mess than a little, I'm telling you, your king has written something down with you in heaven about your child, and don't give up. Don't you dare give up, because what the king wrote, he will bring it to pass. The ink doesn't change. They can't veto a king. They can't change the rules of the king. Jesus Christ said it, he'll bring it to pass, so seek the king. He'll bring it to pass. I want to encourage you to wait and to trust. Whatever it is, wherever you are, wait and trust. What are you seeking the Lord for today? Stand to your feet. What is it today that you're seeking the Lord for? What is it today? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to give this part of the service to the pastor, but I want you to begin to think about this. Where's your children? What is it that you are laying before the Lord? He's got it, and you can trust him.
I want you to know that we have ordered an acrylic podium. I have also been advised that there will be a snack and yak this morning. But Robin has raised a very important issue for us. And it resonates in some of us like this. I believe God can do it. I don't believe he'll do it for me.
Amen.
There is a religious misrepresentation of God when we fail to think of him as Father and insist on calling him the great, omnipotent, omniscient, creator God, because that puts him out there someplace rather than right here with us. If it's true that you are born of the Spirit, you are an heir of your Father. I want you to know that the presence of a man in a home does not mean fathering is taking place in that home. There can be other things taking place. But my God, my Father, told me personally, he is my Father. And that he was attending to the details of my life all along the way. Our creation, male and God created man, male and female created he them. We are representational. It's the activity of God in our life that makes us a better I don't expect fathers to be good mothers. They weren't designed to be mothers. I don't expect mothers to be fathers. That's not the grace that attends them. But I do expect fathers to father and mothers to mother. And if you're not doing that, then look for the activity of God in your life. Because he is faithful to your spiritual DNA. It might be that this morning you've not undertaken that walk with the Lord. You're still out there not waiting on the Lord, but waiting for him. You don't have to wait for him anymore. He is very present. I had a chance last week to pray with a young lady. I said, are you ready to accept Christ? She goes, yes. I said, well, let's pray. She goes, well, I don't know what to say. I said, well, say something like this. And so we just prayed like that. Because he looks at the heart. He understands where your heart has been. And if your heart is bent toward the Lord, if you're laboring toward him, cease the labor. Come and join us. Let us pray with you for that. If you're dealing with the issue of authority, I have the authority in this issue. I've got to take responsibility. Don't do that. Authority means you have responsibility for it. Delegated authority means you're representing somebody else's responsibility. It's a function of where we see ourselves in relationship to the one who governs our lives. Let me ask you that as we close out this year, to begin to settle these issues about who the Father is to you and what our responsibility is to him. Lord, teach us to wait, because some of us don't wait real well, and I'm right at the top of that pack. But thank you, Lord, for the restraint that you do bring through the circumstances of life that force us to wait in hope for the reality of you manifesting your presence and your intervention in the circumstances of this thing called life. For those, Lord, who are here this morning who need the reality of God satisfied in their understanding, let this be that day. Let this be the threshold. When we declare your sins are forgiven, let that be real to them, because the truth is those sins have been forgiven. Let us undertake our walk, our followership to the Holy Spirit, so that your purposes and our identity are fulfilled in the earth to the glory of God our Father. Lord, I invite you this morning to draw the net. Pull us closer. Help us see by the Spirit of Revelation that these things be true because of who you are. And I thank you in Jesus' name for that truth. The altar is open. Our first-time guests out the door and to your left to the kiosk. Snacking and yakking is downstairs. We're here to pray with you if you need prayer.